Good morning, everybody. We will start our October board meeting. Yes, we are in October. And we're going to start with primary financial statements. And I give the floor to Aida.
Thank you, Hans. Good morning. Time for our favorite project, primary financial statements. So after the marathon last month, we thought we'd take it easy on you this month. So we have one paper. But, you know, very important paper, which is talking about how we should describe the subtotals the board has tentatively decided to require in the statement of financial performance. Just to give you a heads up, in the cover note, we list a number of topics we are planning to bring to future board meetings. And we actually know now what we plan to bring in November, and these are items D, E, and F in paragraph 2 of that paper. So I'm just going to pause briefly if, in case there are any comments or questions on what is in the cover note before we go into the paper 21A. So Frank has written paper 21A. This is his first paper and his first presentation to the board. And as is customary, we expect you all to agree with everything he says. So I'll have...
I'll be nice, not afraid. It's a good try, Aida.
You can't blame me for trying, right? So I'll hand over to Frank to introduce the paper.
So we prepared agenda paper 21A to ask the board how to describe the three proposed required subtotals and whether operating profit and EBIT should be used to describe them. Operating profit is discussed as issue one with three questions, and plan to ask question one and two together. And EBIT is discussed as issue two with three questions. And before we moving on to the questions, do board members have any general comments or questions?
That is not the case.
So
it's a brief one, and it's stated later in the paper, but I thought it was very important to me in looking at, do we even spend time focusing on what the titles are? You know, the names that we give to line items is the staff's view that I think we have to make clear in any consultation that while you aren't required to use exactly the words we use, that if you do use the words we use, you cannot vary at all from what we say has to be in or outside of those items. So if we say we will have a line item that we define as operating profit, then you cannot attach that title operating profit to something that is calculated in a way that is inconsistent with what we say in the standard, even though whether it's translation or other tailoring, you aren't necessarily required to use operating profit. It's the consequence of us defining it. So that was really important to me to focus on what are the consequences of us doing this and why are we spending our time doing that.
Yeah, good comment.
Okay, so for issue one, operating profit, the staff thought that incorporating operating profit or loss into IFRS terminology and assigning it to one of the proposed required subtotals would mean that one of the most commonly used descriptions for a measure of financial performance could only be used to present an IFRS-defined measure that is comparable across entities. Therefore, does the board agree to use the term operating profit to describe one of the proposed subtotals? And if yes, does the board agree to use operating profit to describe the subtotal business profit from consolidated entities? We recommend this subtotal because we understand that users will use this subtotal the most, and the recommendation is consistent with the current practice for most entities in our sample.
So just to make it super clear, we're asking questions at the same time.
Nick.
Thank you. My sense is that we do need to own the term operating profit. There are many variations of it used out in practice. Many of those tend to have a positive skew or a positive loss put on the number. I think the analysis that the team have undertaken, looking at those 42 entities, highlights the diversity in practice that we see today, and that's exactly what the project is intended to resolve by saying, actually, this is where the term will be used. I think the most intuitive place to use the term is to replace the phrase which we've had as a holding statement, business profit from consolidated entities. I think that's what widely would be understood as the most obvious measure of operating profit. So I support the staff proposals for both questions one and two.
I think that's very important, also given the experience that if we invent a very precise new term, we never, almost never succeed in getting that widely used in the market, like such as the statement of financial position. Mm-hmm. Nobody uses that. Everybody talks about the balance sheet. And that's why, I think if we want to achieve what we want with these subtotals, we have to anchor it in such and name it in such a way that the market understands it. Tak.
Thank you. I agree with the staff's recommendation. As Nick pointed out, what we are going to do is own the term of the operating profit owned by the ISB. And actually, operating profit used in a very different way. Some people believe that operating profit is something like a recurring profit. And some people think the operating profit includes share of profit of integrated associates. But actually, what we are going to do is now not only just simply changing the name, but we are going to change the practice to substantially prohibit them using the operating profit, which includes share of profit, which includes some non-recurring items. So it's a big change. It's a great challenge. So, however, I think it's worth doing that. So maybe we need to analyze a little further what is the consequence if we were to decide this one. That's what we need to do further.
Anne?
I agree with the staff's question one and two. I do believe we should use the term operating profit. I'm concerned about our messaging because it'll look like some flip-flop going on because we used to use it, we took it away in 2003, we're bringing it back. But I think our circumstances are different now and I think we will be making it clear. We could still be criticised for not defining it, so we want to explain that we are defining it indirectly in our indirect way. So hopefully we can make that clear and then, as Nick said, we'll get ownership of the term.
I'm happy to go ahead with a proposal to explore this in the market. I wonder whether this might be a point where we'll get a bit of rub against the sort of management performance metrics, because if management have got a very sort of definitive view of their own of what operating profit is and it doesn't align with the way that we get to operating profit based on our decisions, because the operating profit metric is something that's used a lot, I think it might, you know, a bit of debate going, but that's not a bad thing. So, and given the way we've defined it, I think that the board does think this is operating profit the way that we think, so I think it's good to go out and get reactions to it, but I think we'll need to have some good arguments for why we don't think it's inconsistent with our general approach of trying to make sure that we're sort of cognizant of management performance metrics and how that fits in.
Gary?
And I also agree with the staff's recommendations and for your first paper, Frank, very well written. I suspect you might have had a little help from your team, but very well, very, very understandable. I think some of the comments have been made already. I think we need to own this. This has been an issue for as long as I can remember, but in companies define operating profit in part because they could and because there was nothing that says they couldn't call it what it is. So I think we own it. I actually think we have positively defined it. It's basically the profit generated by the ordinary ongoing customer business activities of the entity. That's effectively the definition. And I think, I mean, some other places we discussed is a residual. I don't think it's a residual. It's maybe also a residual, but I think it is positively defined, and we should. I think the definite defining it is the results of your main operating activities to deliver goods and services helps you for those items that are sort of gray, what goes in the lower buckets versus up top will be helpful. I do agree companies, they'll exclude non-recurring items and call it profit. I think it becomes adjusted operating profit is what it has to be. Yeah. I mean, non-recurring items are still operational items for the most part. They just are kind of inconvenient debit and occasionally a credit, but they're still operations in it. So I strongly endorse it. I think business practice, I agree with what Taka said, is that I think practice will gravitate towards, now it is a defined term, and I think practice will gravitate to it. Taking either one step further or half a step towards where Mary was, we can call it operating profit. Our standards will, companies might grow, call it profit from operations, business profit from operations. There'll be some little variants in the name. The key thing in the words, operating profit is part of it. And I just think we just acknowledge this is not a, to be taken literally in all cases.
But the most important thing is that we provide a new anchor.
Yes.
Daryl?
So for the reasons that everybody else has said, I agree with the answer to one. I think it makes sense for us to own the term, and I'm very comfortable with that one. I did struggle a bit more with question two. In my mind, the way that we have, the way that I believe we have tried to define an integral associate is that we want it to be something that is part of the brand, part of the distribution system, in other words, part of the operating process. And so for me, I realize that there is some concern around the way people use associates right now, but I think that's because we haven't made this distinction between integral and non-integral. I also think that it may put, I agree with the comment that it may put some stress on the definition of integral versus non-integral, but again, I'm comfortable with that. So I would have been more inclined to say that the operating profit line comes one level down, and the line that we're talking about at the moment would be operating profit before associates or before integral associates. It's because I think that if we get the definition of integral associates correct, then that for me is very much part of the operational activities of the entity.
Jen Chow.
Thank you, guys. Actually, I have a similar view with Daryl. First, I agree with question one. I think we should introduce the operating profit. It has been used widely in practice. With question two, I have similar concern because why we discuss the separate line item with regard to the share of profits of loss and or integral associate and joint venture, because people think that it's a extension of their main business or operating activities. So if this part of share of profit loss excluded from operating profit, I think first if we look at the practice based on the analysis of the staff analysis, the 42 entities, actually they already have 24% of those entities including that share of profits of loss of associate and joint ventures in the operating profit. So if our proposal excludes that portion, that will be a very big impact of those companies because their operating profits will be decreased because of our decision. So we should think about that portion of entities. In principle, as I said, that because we made a decision to encourage people to divide share of profits of associate and joint venture based on integral or not. So people will question what's the nature of that profit arising from the integral associate and joint venture, whether they are operating or not. From management perspective, management always regard that as part of their operating activities. So maybe they will think that should be included in the in operating profit. So maybe Daryl's suggestion. Change the name as operating before share of profit of integral associate and joint venture. It's a practical way to use the name.
But then if we do that, then we create room for everybody using operating profit for something else.
Yeah. No, I think operating profit is so the line after integral associates is the line that would be named operating profit. So it would be an absolute defined term, I think, in what I was thinking. So just moving it down one line.
Yeah. If I can just maybe reiterate why we did not recommend this approach, and you know, we as a staff were quite persuaded by you know the points we put in the paper, and the first one being that the subtotal we are proposing to define as operating profit is the one users are interested in, is the first number they're going to look at, because they simply are equity method accounting and income and expenses. They have different quality, different measurement bases. They wouldn't look at them together. Then, you know, we have done significant research, which, you know, Frank has put in the paper. And, you know, I understand, Jean-Charles, your view as entities always regard us as operating, but actually our research has suggested otherwise, that they actually most often do not regard it as operating profit. And then finally, we are concerned around this putting additional pressure on definition of integral, and we think that in itself could derail success of this project. So we just felt, you know, the costs really of this were not justifying any benefits that you see for companies that truly see this as a part of this operation.
I suppose my concern would be, so I agree with all of that. I understand why you've got to it on all of those, but I think a part of it goes to the heart of why we think we want to integrate, why we want to separate out the two different performance types of associates. And I think that of our information hasn't been previously available. We are now saying that we think actually some part of the return you get from associates is different. And it's different because it is part of it's part of the operational activities of the entity as opposed to an investment activity of the entity. And I think that does matter. And I think the problem is it feels like we're making a definitional, we're requiring people to split it out, but then we're weakening our own argument by having said we think it's operational, but don't include it in operational. And that would be my concern.
Otherwise, we might have to revisit that. Martin.
Yeah. And I find it a little bit difficult to use this term now, because when we have give freedom to a lot of companies over many years, saying, okay, what they think is operating profit, and it is a kind of what we have seen in the paper. I think the majority of companies are using that as one of their key performance measure. And now coming as an ISP and saying, okay, but now you are not allowing you, based on your definition of operating profit, to using that term any longer, because we now using that for our, I think it is difficult, because what should companies do? Should they then change all their documentation, which they have operating profit now, and find a new term? And then in headlines saying, okay, it is now our operating profit before associate and blah, blah, blah. I think it's difficult. And if I would for myself think, okay, what we, although we were not sure at the first place, okay, if we should using that, I think we should use a new term, which is business profit, and then that is the anchor, because that was our objective. I think it is not our objective now, because we could not define operating profit, but now we thinking, okay, we can use the term only for this kind of measure, but if companies have different views, what they think is operating, they cannot use the term any longer, which I think is difficult, and maybe we can try, but I fear a lot of negative reaction if we're doing that. And I also think, okay, it is then difficult because, man, even if we change that, man, people in practice will be still using that for different things. Because, man, as I said, because, man, operating profit is used for so many years in so many companies, and to change that culture, I think, for a specific term now, I think is a difficult change process. And maybe it's easier that we go with a business profit. Man, I would, if I have to decide, I would prefer business profit.
Nick, you want to get back in?
Yeah, just to come back on some of those points about defining the line including integral associates and joint ventures, and then using that as an operating profit definition. I mean, the nature of these items is very different. Remember that the share of profit from integral associates and joint ventures is post-tax and it's post-interest, whereas the previous one is what I would think of as operating profit. Remember that the company doesn't control those cash flows either. If I was to ask any investor to calculate a operating margin they would take what we have defined today as business profit from consolidated entities and divide that through by revenue. That is the understanding. I accept that companies may have different definitions, but I think investors have an understanding of what is operating entity. It is based around that line, which is we call business profit today. That is a common understanding across the market. And the raison d'etre of this project is to try and build on that common understanding to bring consistency and comparability and understandability. And for me, that means that it has to be that line if we're going to use the term the business profit from consolidated entities.
So before the integral associates?
Before any contribution from associates and joint ventures.
Yeah, and to Martin's point, the whole point of this exercise is to bring more structure to the income statements and give less freedom.
That we can do with obvious business profit, but if, and as I said, my experience is we tried in the term market to define what is operating profit between many entities. It was not possible because different views, different things, and now we think, okay, because we using that term that we can end this debate, I am not sure. And people then forcing to use different kind of names for what they think is a
they can call it adjusted operating profit, but then it's at least it's very clear to everybody that it's adjusted from IFRS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the point.
Françoise?
I agree that we introduce the operating profit subtotal. As to what is this line, frankly, I understand Chen Chao and Darrell's views and could sympathize with them. I can also accept the proposal as is for the reasons that have been expressed by board members. And I also, in fact, I think that Martin describes the situation very well, but I think it's because the situation is what it is that we want to do that.
Mary?
I think it's important. I like Nick's characterization of owning the term, but I think I'm supportive of the staff proposals in the package. And I only want to own the term if we have the definition that the staff has proposed in question two, because I think the point about the different nature of items accounted for on an equity, using the equity method of accounting, is very, very important. And I don't like the idea of backing off of what could be a difficult transition because of anticipating transition difficulties by going something more neutral as business profit, because I think operating profit is the one that can be that if used in different ways could be misleading and confusing and undercut a lot of the value that this project can deliver. And so it's a difference in nature between the items that are in the line item we currently call, business profit from consolidated and equity, the basis of calculating equity method, whether it's integral or non-integral subs. There's no difference in how you apply the equity method, depending upon the nature, and that's good. That makes me say we have to attach operating profit to the pre-equity method pickup. And I also, going back to something that I think Anne said, I think we have not got to a positive definition. I think we've got to of operating profit. I think there's a description of what we expect that to represent, but I think the way we have defined it as here are the things you must exclude, because we've specified where they place, is the right way to go about it. And I don't think we should start morphing that into a positive description, because if we morph it into a positive description, we'll end up with somebody
in Germany, and it's just like you cannot make a definition.
Yeah. I think we'll end up with a lot of debates about, well, this is the positive description, here's something, and I think its nature fits with this positive description, but the board has indicated it should be elsewhere. I think we'll create more problems. So I think we should focus on the requirements being set out as they have been in this project so far, which is specifying which things must be outside, and so therefore it's kind of a residual approach to the definition. So I think that's important that we stick with that approach.
So moved.
Thank you. I agree with the step recommendation, question one, but question two and three, I have maybe sympathy with that. There is a recommendation. So that's one thing. Another thing is Nick's argument on equity accounting, some profit and loss. Yes, yeah, mechanically it's right. Yeah. The equity accounting, if you do something, gain and losses is a kind of after tax. It includes all investing, financing activities of the investee. However, if we see this equity accounting, you know, from a different perspective of the schools, it's a kind of approximation of fair value change of this some kind of a, you know, some financial instrument in a way. So there are many thoughts on this, you know, equity accounting, conceptually. So we don't have to say just, you know, interpreting that the final outcome is composed of many some kind of these things. So that's why we can't include that kind of performance in our operating performance. That's a little different, I guess. That's the one thing we should think about. Yeah, that's the one thing. Another thing is, the minor thing is, if you are going to use operating profit, then maybe we might need another analysis of the operating cash flows and the operating profit. But we are not focusing on any issue in the cash flow statement, but we are using the same terminology here and there. So there might be a question our stakeholders might raise in the future. Thanks.
Tom?
So I agree with a lot of the comments people made. I think there are good arguments for it either above or below being the operating profit one. I think on balance, though, that staff have it right. I mean, if we're going to go out, and who knows, if we get a ton of stuff back, we could switch it. But I think Nick's comment about the margins being really important, not bringing in this post-tax thing, is from at least what I've read, the balance of users and preparers seem to make that distinction. So I'd be inclined to go first with an operating profit that seems to fit best with current practice. Although there are arguments, good the other way. I think it's really important that we preserve the second one, and ideally, I think, looking ahead with a name that is not too far removed. In that regard, I have a small comment. In the event that there was no integrated joint ventures or whatever, the operating profit would move down. So it's the dominant name, and it would sit there, right? That you wouldn't have this line operating profit plus integrated.
Yeah,
it would just slide. So that's the one we're anchoring on as our big name. I agree we should own it. So just that. On the last thing I want to say, just on the indirect, I agree we're going to measure it indirectly. I think we should give some thought when we eventually write a basis to say we chose to do it indirectly for the following reasons. It wouldn't be a bad thing to put in some of the affirmative stuff in the basis about why, what is left over, and describe the residual a bit more than as a residual, but that's not our mathematical calculation. Because there is, everyone really has a sense of what operating profit is, so it would be good if we could convey that somehow.
Gary?
Yeah, quickly. Find myself disagreeing with a lot of people that I really agree with, but I think operating profit is the right thing to call it, even though I buy into the brand of the integrated associates is part of it. But operations is what you control, and you don't control them. And therefore, I think operating profit, well, this is only the exposure draft type document. Anyways, it can change. I think it's my way of thinking. Companies, they may call it operating profit internally. They may call it extra. I think this is an easy change to handle. I mean, internally, it's called all sorts of different things that may bear no relationship to any sort of external standard. So I think it's a manageable change. And again, it's only a proposal at this point. And then lastly, actually, I think we should positively define what it is. It is a residual. You get to the same place in both things, but I think positively defining it that it's the results of your ongoing reasons for existence is what's in this line will help. There's going to be gray area stuff and stuff on the bubble, transactions we haven't even thought of yet or even exist, but I think it would just be helpful to define it. This is related to your customer-centric activities. It's also residual, and you get to the same place. But so again, like Tom had suggested, we should put some of the positive in there, too.
We'll just make it easier to disagree with it, because I don't think we will be able to really come close to defining it. Françoise?
Well, I didn't comment on this one, but I really think that it has to remain an indirect definition to remain. And I don't like the idea of a residual. I think basically I expect an entity to run its operations, and it happens that it needs financing, and it happens that they have some investing activities. But basically everything else is expected to be about their operations. So,
okay. Can I see who is in favor of staff recommendation question one?
13.
And question two.
Ten.
Okay, then for the other subtotal, profit before income and expenses from investments, finance income expenses, and income tax, does the board agree to describe it as operating profit and share of profit or loss of integral associates and joint ventures?
Do we need discussion, or can we vote?
Given the other decision.
Minus 11. And now we move on to issue two. EBIT, or earnings before interest and tax, is commonly understood as profit or loss, adding back interest expense and income tax expense, which is different from our definition of the proposed subtotal of profit or loss before finance income and expenses and income tax. So we believe the EBIT label does not faithfully represent the proposed required subtotal. Therefore, does the board agree that entities should be prohibited from using the term EBIT to describe the profit or loss before finance income and expenses and income tax subtotal?
Mary?
I feel a bit queasy saying that we should, in a standard, prohibit somebody from doing something like this in terms of labeling. And so I'd rather capture the point. I agree with the staff's analysis. So I think what I'd rather do is capture the point as the board observing that use of the term EBIT is only appropriate for a subtotal that has no interest earning, income or expense included. And then observe that we think, therefore, it can't be attached to the following line items unless you're an entity that doesn't have these things. But I think I would steer, I agree with sentiment, but I think I would steer away from expressing it as a prohibition.
Amaru?
Yeah, I think maybe just to reinforce the same perception as Mary, I think I feel uncomfortable in prohibiting in our standard setting process. I think just warn about the wording and maybe use another way to express it, defining in a way that's what we do want it to represent instead of prohibiting. Prohibit might get some reactions in few jurisdictions where they might have this defined in some way. So.
But it wouldn't be the first time we have prohibited, right? Mm. So we prohibited people using the label revenue for insurance that wasn't done in a way that we do it. So, and I think that the argument that the staff raises about the fact that you actually do potentially have quite a lot of interest that is in the number because of the income on the investments means that it is a bit of an inaccurate description.
But don't you think Mary's suggestion would achieve the same outcome if it is
sure? Yeah.
Rearticulate it?
I was just saying that we should, and I'm not focused on whether this is more discussion on the basis or in the standard, but make the point that we considered attaching the label EBIT to one of the subtotals, and we concluded it was not appropriate because EBIT would only be an appropriate label for a subtotal that did not include any interest, income, or expense. and explaining that that's why it was not appropriate for what we'd lined it.
And we were related to
somebody using it.
You stick that in the basis, people will be like,
do you think you need to say it doesn't faithfully represent
no.
what it is?
Sticking it in the basis won't do it.
Well, that's where. I mean, I'm just focused on...
But then I don't understand what the difference is. If you're not prohibiting it, what's the point of an observation? Mm-hmm. I don't really get it.
Hoping that the regulators will put an end to it, I don't think that's going to happen. François?
Well, I mean... Going to first of all, I support the reason why the board, the staff is proposing this. Frankly, I'm with the care that we take with these definitions of subtotals, and I wonder why we don't require our labels purely and simply. Rather than, you know, I'm not saying about the names of the statement, I'm not talking about the line items, I'm talking about those subtotals. Why don't we mandate the terms? And we don't have any prohibition. Yeah. Operating profit is operating profit.
It would sit very uncomfortably with the notion that we don't mandate how entire statements should be called, and yet we mandate the subtotals and the statements. So I think it just wouldn't... It doesn't feel quite right. I think we have to be consistent throughout.
Well, I mean, I take a different view. Peter?
I think maybe one way we could do it would be to put in the standard a requirement that the label has to be a faithful representation.
We have that already.
And then give an example and say, for example, if you try to label something as EBIT and it has such and such characteristics, then it's not going to meet that requirement.
Isn't that a general requirement of our standards that they should?
It's an existing. I think it's already in IS1 from the amendments we did in 2014, but maybe just adding an example or illustration to that.
A good way.
Yeah.
Anne?
We want people to use operating profit and the other subtotals, and if they're not using them, they will use this word underlying. So we're not taking away their ability to present something else in operating profit or their version of EBIT, but they'll have the word underlying before it, and that will make it very clear what was our term and what their adjusted term is.
Tom?
I guess it depends. One of the things that we have down below that line is all these discounts that get cleaned up. And I don't think they're strictly interest either. So I guess if we left the EBIT around, how often would it be used? If we do write, assuming we could write the thing properly, I'm sort of asking if we're leaving this open, I can't, how many entities have no, because I don't think the discounts are included either. And so I think if everybody followed it, I think most of them would be precluded from EBIT. So I'm a bit sympathetic to what Mary said, except if it's such a small set, I don't see leaving all this complication around for a very small number of firms. So I'm curious about, does anybody have any sense of how often this would actually be literally usable if it was a faithful representation? Is it 10% of firms, 20, 50?
We think it would be rare.
I think it would be used by people for whom it was not a faithful representation, unless we have some kind of statement pointing out to them that it's not a fit. You know, we have concluded it's not a faithful representation.
That's not my question.
No, I know, but I'm saying, you know, how much would it address? I think we have to be explicit. Hey,
would you like to reformulate the question or give the discussion? Or?
Yeah, so I think what I understood, well, we will vote, but the proposal is, rather than saying the entities are prohibited, to explain how using term EBIT is not faithful representation and why are using an example, for example, in IS1 of the subtotal, and that therefore, you know, we embedded this is why the board hasn't decided to use this label, and we think this will have therefore the same effect as prohibiting it, but without using. Mm-hmm.
And that's in the body of the standard, not just chat and basis. Yeah.
Okay, can we agree with? Of course, the staff needs to think about this a little bit further. But can we agree with this proposal?
13.
Okay, question 5. In light of the board's previous tentative decision on MPM, we thought it would be useful to clarify whether the label EBIT can be used to describe an MPM. So does the board agree to clarify that a label can only be used to describe an MPM when the label faithfully represents the measure, and therefore an EBIT label can only be used to describe a measure that has been calculated as profit or loss plus all interest income and expense and income tax expense?
Well, I certainly agree that we clarify that labels have to be faithfully representing measures. With the discussion that we've just had, I'm not sure that we need to add anything else, because if we explain that a faithful representation will exclude EBIT, it excludes it in every circumstance.
I think that's a really good point, actually. Mm-hmm. I think the vote that we've taken on the previous question, actually, to some extent, makes question 5 academic, because it will cover the same ground.
Yeah.
I think there is one observation we make, is that the comment, the analysis that we have in respect of subtotals on the face of the primary financial statements carries over to the labeling of MPMs. I think that's it, just because it's an MPM, you aren't released from the constraints of faithful representation in terms of labeling.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, since the question seems to be academic now, we don't need to vote.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so, and the last question, if we don't call it EBIT, the staff thought the current description of the subtotal as profit or loss before finance, income and expenses and income tax does not provide faithful representation, and we considered two alternatives, approach A and approach B. Both of them provide better description. So we recommended approach B because we thought it is easier to understand. Therefore, does the board agree to describe the profit or loss before finance, income and expenses and income tax subtotal as profit or loss before financing and income tax?
Doug?
I disagree with the staff's recommendation. I rather prefer approach A. I have three reasons. One is, as paper said, even approach B doesn't describe the contents faithfully. That's the first point. And the second point is, actually, it's not really straightforward. We use a direct method for the first one, which is operating profit, then keep consistent with this line. So just simply profit or loss from operating and the investment is much more straightforward. And thirdly, you are talking about integrated associates. And I don't think it's necessary. Down to this level, it's already included, no matter how it's integrated or not. It's within the investment category. It is already included. It is clear already at this level. So therefore, we don't have to care about under-integrated, under share of profit or loss of integrated associates. So just we can simply use operating and investing activity.
So, Istak, what you're saying, that our full description in paragraph 45 is actually not necessary,
not necessary.
If you have material.
Yeah, it's already clear.
Yeah.
I'm not going to repeat what Tak said. I agree with everything he's saying.
Vic?
On balance, I prefer approach B. I just think it's more in line, it's more intuitive, it's more in line with current practice in terms of how market participants would think about that line. Approach A would be a new term completely for the market.
Mary?
I think a request for the staff. When I was reading paper 21 that had the summary of our discussions, you know, more extensive discussions about how you adapt things for the general model for companies that have significant financing, significant investing activities. I don't have a strong view about A versus B, you know, in this question, but I'm not sure that I can comfortably process how the title we use here gets impacted by the analysis if you're one of those companies that has significant investing and or financing activities. So I just wanted to flag that as something to think about. If, you know, if we're locking ourselves into something that becomes problematic when we look at those other activities. So happy to support you initially, but if you come up with a problem when you put it together with the decisions from the previous meeting, please come back to us rather than saying, well, we took a vote and therefore we're locked into it. I can't process that kind of 3D puzzle.
Tom,
just I want to follow on what Mary said and pose a question. So whether it's they just don't have them or whether they're one of these entities where all that stuff rolls up into operating. So we come down now, we say operating profit. And turns out there's nothing in that investing category. I just want to know, now we got operating, does operating profit come right down?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because then it precludes both A and B. Like, we're not going to say twice, right? We're not going to say operating profit 1,000, you know, profit after whatever, or profit before 1,000. And I just, I'd like to know how this plays.
A and B, I think what you're saying is that is approach A, actually, and simply because you don't have investing, you would omit investing from definition, but it is approach A.
Okay, because that's kind of where I went. I think A fits better that world where you don't have anything, because then the operating just keeps surviving and the other falls off, whereas the other one you have to substitute. And I, for what it's worth, if I had to, I was indifferent between the two, and I'm just looking for a thing to hang my hat on.
Could these two things coexist potentially? Because to Nick's point, you know, a standard general corporate, you know, profit before financing is something users would expect to see, you know, is something they're familiar, they know what to do with, how to use. But then you have circumstances like you described, and you know, is it an issue if we actually had profit before financing in these circumstances, but in your circumstances, we, you know, you actually have operating profit and you don't use this tool?
Yeah, or you, at some point we'll need to say something. Like, do you give people a choice when they come down to that? Maybe you give them a choice.
Yeah.
If we go for B. I'm not...
Yeah.
So let's try to wrap this up, guys.
Okay, quickly, I was in A, I came to B, and this discussion reinforced, because I think it's actually, I don't think it's residual, I think it's just a defined term. I think it's clear, because I think a lot of people, what's the difference between investing and financing? I think this is just very clear, it's everything but taxes and financing.
Mary?
Go back to the first question we looked at and Nick's phrase about owning the term. And it's important, you know, where there are terms we want to own and say you can't use it, you know, if you don't meet these criteria. This subtotal doesn't have that. Neither of the terms that we're talking about using are ones I'm concerned about owning. So I'm not sure that I care that, you know, that much. And I just want the staff to find something that works in the context of the overall project, because I'm not worried about preventing abuses or trying to drive people all to one term.
Can I see who supports a staff recommendation?
Actually, no.
Nine.
Okay. All right. Well, David, that was very well done. Oh, Frank, sorry. Serious jet lag problem today.
Still well done.
We call you David now.
Yeah.